Gracious God, make us love what you command. Amen. So I tend to think of myself as someone who has a relatively mature faith. I guess you'd hope as much as I'm the one preaching to you this morning. But no matter how mature or practiced or reflective I think I am in my faith, when I hear Jesus' response to the Pharisees, when I hear the command to love God with our whole being, to love our neighbor as ourself, my initial feeling is this sort of warm, fuzzy feeling of comfort and compassion and longing to live my life accordingly. I love love. You all love love. You've been spending this whole fall listening about how your community is called to be building up in love. But I have this suspicion that it's not all warm and fuzzy. I have this nagging idea that it requires hard work. This isn't some passive suggestion that Jesus hopes we live by. Even the concept of building up in love is an active, working, perhaps challenging hope. What does it take to love God with our whole being, to love our neighbor as ourself? What does it cost? Jesus has just entered Jerusalem, and he wastes no time as he goes into the temple and overturns the tables of the money changers. He stands in the midst of a collaboration between unlikely teammates, the Pharisees and the Herodians, who want to entrap him with a question about taxes and what is due to the emperor. He confronts the Sadducees and their convoluted question about resurrection. And now Jesus faces the Pharisees again, now with a lawyer who poses a question about which commandment in the law is the greatest. I am astounded by Jesus' wit and his grace and his ability to stand in a dividing world and offer deep insight that is always, always rooted in God. Of course, as we know, his replies don't permeate the fear that confronts him. Rather, it builds more fear. Fear that turns to violence. Violence that turns to death. So what does it take to love God with our whole being? To love our neighbor as ourself? What does it cost? So I had a counselor in college who used to tell me that love is tragic. Probably an important thing to hear about as a young college student, but it would always upset me how he would say it. Like it was fine, expected, part of life. Like saying that love is tragic shouldn't keep me from it. Love is tragic? That can't be right. Love is love. Love wins. Love God. Love neighbor. Love, love, love. I kind of took it as a challenge, right? You tell me that love is tragic, and I'm going to prove you wrong. Take that, counselor. But 20 years later, 20 years after hearing those words, love is tragic, I'm actually more convinced that it's true. And I am more convinced that it is completely worth it. which is what I believe my counselor was hoping I would understand. This past year has been quite the test in love. More often than not, I have found that we are called, like Jesus, to stand in a dividing world and be love. I have been part of trainings in Portland to learn how to show up for our immigrant brothers and sisters if and when they are confronted by law enforcement or harassed by hate groups. We have reenacted scenarios that place us between violent rhetoric and innocent lives. Human rights, environmental pledges, peace treaties, places we have placed our love and tallied up important victories and seen hope are threatened daily to be dismantled. What does it take to love God with our whole being, to love our neighbor as ourself? What does it cost? What makes me continue to believe in love and our call to love God with our whole being and our neighbor as ourself is how I have seen members of our church communities rely on their congregations to respond to the world in love. I'm talking about that table-turning, defiant, resistance kind of love. The love that depends on our reliance on one another. The love that looks our neighbor in the eye and shows up for them. The love that costs us our comfort and security and demands our trust. Now, the graphic that you have for your pledge campaign, Building Up in Love, at first glance could lean to those warm, fuzzy feelings of love, that bright red heart of Legos, those two hardworking Lego people carrying their pieces to add to the heart. Cute! But did you notice that there was nowhere to put the pieces that the Lego people were carrying? I noticed. And let me tell you why. I have a 3-year-old, a bright red-headed boy named Jack. He loves to figure things out. He loves planes, and he loves Legos. Now, sometimes I make poor parenting choices. So now one such example is when he wanted a Lego plane. And it looked like a simple enough construction, right? Sure, it was advised for a child a few years older than 3, but hey, Jack is advanced. So instead of the larger block Legos, this had smaller pieces that you needed to handle with care as to not make the plane fall apart every time you touched it. So you can see where this might be going. But maybe what you can't see happening is me hiding the plane in different places all over the house in hope that he never finds it and loses his mind for the umpteenth time that the tiny, tiny piece that's supposed to be on the wing is missing. But when he does open that drawer, or look behind the planter box, or seize it in the bag for Goodwill, landed. My plane! Oh, but wait. Where's this peace, Mom? I need this peace! And then, of course, his whole world falls apart. So I felt like your Lego heart, full and complete, and with extra pieces, was designed especially for me. Having these extra pieces allows us to be responsive to these outcries. Not just Jack's, of course, but the needs of those who are seeking more light and love in this world. That is what I see in your poster when I think of it in this way. Your poster is a depiction of what it truly means for this community to be building up in love. The heart of this place is not meant to be contained. It is meant to be wheelbarrowed out and carried into the world to build up love outside of these walls. The extra pieces are not meant for the heart. For you all have done your work. You have built up a place that is full of love. But without that stretch, without the challenge to give just beyond what feels comfortable and secure, we don't get to feel the reliance we have on one another and to God, and to bear witness to this love going out into the world. These Lego people are not going toward the heart. They are taking pieces of the abundance of love that exists in this place and heading out into the world that so desperately needs love. In Henry Nouwen's book, A Spirituality of Fundraising, he writes, even a seemingly small act of generosity can grow into something far beyond what we could ever ask or imagine. The creation of a community of love in this world and beyond this world, because wherever love grows, it is stronger than death. So when we give ourselves to planting and nurturing love here on earth, our efforts will reach out beyond our own chronological existence. Indeed, if we raise funds for the creation of a community of love, we are helping God build the kingdom. Love is tragic, but only when we try to contain it. The love that Jesus speaks of, the greatest commandment to love God with all our heart and with all our soul and with all our mind, to love our neighbor as ourself, is asking us to create tangible evidence of peace and light and joy and hope, to build up love together with God. And this love does win. And it always will. Amen.